of yesterday discussing the din of Lekicha Tama, the four minimum Ma'akeh V'Hadadi, so we pointed out that the major Mechlekes and Rishonim, is there any exception to that rule? Or really, what are the Hagdaras to that rule? So according to Rabbi Tam, so the Gemara Minsk Pshuta, that you have to take all four minim, and you have to take all four minim at the same time, otherwise you're not Yaitzim Midaraisa. And the Ramban said to the other extreme that it's not true, that you have to take all four minim, that part is true, but you don't have to take them all with Asachas, you can take them Zachazah. The Pashas, according to the Ramban, there's nothing really intrinsically wrong with taking them at different times during the course of the day, and even though you didn't have it all four at the same time in front of you and they weren't in your house and you know where they're coming, it doesn't matter. Pashas, at the end of the day, you would know the law four, that's also considered to be a kim of Lekicha Tama. Then we pointed out that right smack in the middle between the Shittas of Rabbeinu Tam and the Shittas of Ramban, we find the Shittas of Rambam and the Shittas of Rosh. But the Rambam insists that you have to have Arba Mitzuyin, that they have to be all four in existence. Bim, he has to know where they are, even though they're not necessarily in front of him. And the Rosh seems to insist on more, that you have to have all four in front of you, even though you don't actually, the Metzias, have to take all four at the same time. So we have to really understand this middle sheet as well. As very often in learning, the extreme sheet doesn't make a lot of sense. Either Rabbeinu Tam makes perfect sense, that's not called Lekicha Tam, without all four at the same time. The Rabban also makes sense. The Lekicha Tam just means you have to take all four, doesn't it, at the same time. But what's behind the Rambam, what's behind the Rosh, that you require all four either in front of you or all four Mitzuyin Lefana. So, L'chora, one can understand these middle shitas of the Ram and the Rosh really in one of two ways. Either one can understand that the Ram and the Rosh are saying things in terms of the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, that means the Mamish telling you Prat, and telling you Tanaim on the level of the Araiza, that the din of the Lekicha Tama is Mechayev not only to take all four, but it's Mechayev that there has to be some kind of a tziruf between the four. So they don't require the ultimate zero, such as your Rabbeinu Tam, that you have to mamash mean your hands at the same time, but there has to be some cash, there has to be some connection between them. So the Rambam Kedisle, or the Rosh Kedisle, the Rambam understood that the connection is that at the time you take the lulav, you know where the esrog is, you know it's 20 miles away, but at least you have access to it. But Shengen, if you could take one now and one and 3 hours from now, you had no shaykhus, you had no knowledge of one to another, so maybe that's not called the Lekicha Tama. So maybe the Rambam is defining Lekicha Tama in a new way, that it's not defined as all four, so you know, one after another. It's not defined as all four Mamash of Asachas. It's defined as all four as a Tziruf. And Tziruf, according to the Rambam, is defined as with the criteria of Mitzuyin. And maybe the Rosh is going in that same idea, but the Rosh just has a different understanding of what's called Lekicha Tama, what's called the Tziruf. If the Rosh's Tziruf is based on the Fana, that's the Mamash be all four physically in front of him. So if that's the Pshat in the Ram, and that's the Pshat in the Rosh, then they're saying some kind of a din on the level of Deraisa, that certain Tzuri Yaitzir mitzvah is called the Lekicha Tama, and another Tzuri wouldn't be Yaitzir. One could take an entirely different twist on this Shittas Rambam and the Shittas Rosh, that maybe neither of them are talking about Hilchas Lulav per se. Hilchas Dal Milam isn't Mechai. What kind of Hagdara is this Midaraisa? That you have to have all four on the table. You have to have four in the same room. You have to have all four in your Rishus. What kind of Midaraisa is that? That on the level of the Araisa, so of course the Ramban is right. Adon Avad is the definition of Lekicha Tama. Bein Lefi Ramban, Bein Lefi Rama, Bein Lefi Rosh is defined as long as you end up with all four during the course of the day, that's perfectly okay. So why did the Ram and the Rosh start making conditions and telling you it has to be Mitzuyin, it has to be Lefanav? Maybe that has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Da'alamina. Maybe that's a problem of brachas. The Ram is just telling you that how can you make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav, and you want the bracha to cover all four minim. You don't even know where the fourth min is. You don't even know if you're ever going to get it. So maybe that's the problem with the Rambam. Maybe the Rosh is also working with Ilchus Brachas, and the Rosh is saying, how can you make a bracha unless all four are in front of you? That's how you make a bracha on an apple. The apple's not in front of me. How are you talking? The Harkas said, I'd be a hefsek in the bracha. So maybe the Rambam and the Rosh are not even talking about Ilchus Dalamin. Those conditions of Bafana or Mitzuyin have nothing to do with the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. Maybe those are dinim and Ilchus Brachas. So what's the answer to this question? So Lechara, the Rambam is pretty straightforward that it has nothing to do with Hilchus Brachas. The Rambam, when he requires Mitzuyin Lefanav, I'm sorry, when he requires Mitzuyin, so the Rambam is pretty clear that that is a function of the mitzvah of Da'amim. How do I know that's true? The Rambam is talking in the beginning of Hilchus Lulav about the mitzvah D'araisa, L'kachta L'chaviyam Arisha. The Rambam hasn't even said a word about making a bracha yet. The Rambam hasn't mentioned Hilchus Brachas. Brachas comes up at the end of Hilchus Lulav. Or the Rambam tells us it was a din of Hilchus Brachas, so in the end of Hilchus Brachas, when he talks about all the sugyas of Brachas and Mitzvahs, so he should have made a point to this. And the Rambam puts this requirement of Mitzuyin, Bushiru, Arba Mitzuyin, within the definition of the Mitzvah the Arais of Lekicha, is telling you what's a Kasha Lulu, what's a Kasha Resu, what's called the Netilah, what's not called the Netilah, and he tells you you need Dalad, need a Mitzuyin, So clearly the Rambam is defining this requirement of Mitzuyin as being part and parcel of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. So the Rambam, it seems pretty clear that this has nothing to do with Hilchos Brachos. The Ritva, in fact, quotes a Yeshayimim, which isn't really the same as the Shittas Rambam. The Ritva quotes a Yeshayimim that says that if you don't have the Dalet Minim Mitzuyim, lo yatza, uses a Lashon that you're not yet, same with the Yevah, which is clearly a Lashon, nothing to do with Hilchos Brachos. Clearly that's a Lashon in terms of the mitzvah. So that Yeshayim and the Ritva is clearly the same Shittas as the Rambam. The Rambam holds his requirement of Mitzuyim has nothing to do with Brachos. That's in the Etzem HaNetila. What about according to the Rosh? Does it mean that the Rosh is not bound to the Rambam? So here, B'das HaRosh, we find the Machlekes and the Gedolei HaPoskim in Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham, the Pirkei Avodim, who follows Big Pustas Magen Avraham, assume that the Rosh only meant the Prat and Hilchos Brachos. That the Rosh never meant anything so seriously. That you need Arba Mitzuyim Lefanov Mamish, it has to be Mamish Lefanov on the table in order to be Yetzir the Mitzvah Deraisa. And then, what to be Yetzir Deraisa? Maybe the Rambam's right, or maybe the Rambam's right, but to say that you require b'fanav al shulchan midaraisa to create a tziruf, so the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadol, that's a little bit too much to say. But if you look in the Bir HaGra seems to learn that way, because the Bir HaGra is mitzayin, but the Rambam quotes this Rosh, so the Bir HaGra points out that this Rosh disagrees with the Rambam, whereas the Rambam holds that all you need is mitzuyim, the Rosh holds that you need more than mitzuyim, you need b'fanav. If the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadol are right, that the Rambam was talking about the Hilchos Dalet Minim, and the Rosh was talking about Brachos, then there's not necessarily a machlokes between the two. That it could be that everybody agrees that for the mitzvah Dalet Minim, Mitzuyim is good enough, and for the din of Brachos, the fun of is necessary. So the fact that the Gra made a machlokes out of the two, the Bir HaGra is mitzayin, and this Ramah that quotes the Rosh, that the cholik al Rambam, the Sava de lo yotzo, that according to the Rosh, you're not yotze, unless it's arba lefun of. So the Gra seems to be learning the second shot, a different shot than the Magen Avraham B'das HaRosh. So HaKopanim, what do we have here? So we have four shittas in Rishonim. What constitutes of the Kichat Tama? Now we have permutations within the Achronim. What's the shot in some of the middle shittas? So we have the extreme Rabbein Tam, that there is no din of there's an absolute din of B'vas Achas within the mitzvah and the Tilas Mulah. Short of B'vas Achas Mamish, it's not called L'Kichat Tama. You have the Rambat all the way in the other extreme, who says there's a Dabak Pashat, that you can have Zech HaZeh, even though you had no knowledge of where they are, and that's also okay, it's perfectly okay. Then you have the middle ground, the Rambam and the Rosh. Within the Rambam and the Rosh, so the Rambam, we're pretty safe to assume that the Rambam was telling you a Tanai, a Prat, within Lekicha Tama, on the level of the Arai. He said that you're Yaitu with Mitzuyin and you're not Yaitu with any Mitzuyin. And whether the Rosh was even being more Machman that was saying that you need B'fan of Mid Araisa, or whether B'fan of it's only a Prat and Lekicha's Brachas, that's subject to a Machlaikis. Between the Magen Avraham and the Gra. How do we pass in the Halach in this whole Machlokes? So the Shulchan Aruch, not surprisingly, quotes you to Sir Rambam, quotes the Lashon of Rambam. So the way we are saying, Pshat the Rambam, that Mitzuyin is needed with the Raisa, so the Shulchan Aruch is passing not quite like Rabbeinu Tam Shita, and not quite like Rabban Shita. He's passing the middle ground, that with the Raisa, there's a requirement of Mitzuyin, that you could take the Lulav Esra Vedasa Rabbas Bezech Hazeh, as long as at the time when you took the first one, you knew we're all four one. They were all four out, even though they weren't quite in front of you, that's okay. The problem is the Ramah quotes the Rosh's Lashon. The Ramah quotes, Vushayu Befonav. He amends the text of Shekhanach. Shekhanach said, Mitzuyim, like the Lashon Aravim, and the Ramah adds on Befonav. So again, it's not clear what the Ramah mean by that adding on. If you go Be'ikvis to Magen Avraham and the Prima Godim, so then the Ramah, Be'ikaron, is agreeing with the Raisa to the Shekhanach and the Rambam. He's just adding on a quirk that in terms of Hilchos Brachos, you have to make sure to have it Befonav, otherwise you're going to get messed up in terms of the Bracha. And according to the Gra, no, the Ramah is saying something much more fundamental, much more dramatic, that according to the Gra's reading of the Ramah, the Gra's reading of the Rosh, which the Ramah is quoting, so the Rosh is disagreeing fundamentally with the Rambam that even on the level of the Raisa, you require all four, not just Mitzuyim, but you require all four Mamish Befonav. So it's unclear, we paskin. Shulchan Aruch, we know, is following the Rambam, Mitzuyim is needed mid Raisa. The Ramah either also holds that Mitzuyim is needed mid Raisa and Befonav is only needed for Brachas, or the Ramah also holds that Befonav is necessary, like the Gra, Befonav is necessary for the Raisa as well. If you have a situation where a person, in fact, is taking the Dalet Minim Bezech Hazeh, there's no reason, only Meshuggah would do that. Let's say, for whatever reason, the guy decides to take the Dalet Minim Bezech Hazeh. So how does it play out with Lamais in terms of Brachos? So the Rosh writes that when a person takes them, let's say, in the best case scenario, he has all four of the table in front of him. So according to all Rishonim, except for a minute of time, he's going to be Yotzei. So comes the Rosh and says, good, it's all Zayin. So you should have a choice, which one should I pick up? So what's the smarter one to pick up? So the Rav says, you should pick up the lulav first. Why should you pick up the lulav first? Because that's the bracha you're going to make anyway. You're going to make a bracha on atilas lulav. So that's the bracha that you always make. Because I'm a sack in the bracha on atilas lulav. So why should you do it ridiculous? Make a bracha on atilas lulav, then pick up the hadassim first. So why should you do things backwards? So pick up the lulav, because that's when you're going to make the bracha anyway. That's what the Rav writes. So it's clear from the Shita Sarash that there's only one bracha that's going to be made over here. Even a guy who's yaitzeh the mitzvah b'zeh chazeh is not going to make a separate bracha on each of the da'avinim. He's only going to make a bracha on the lulav. So therefore, the Rosh says, so therefore, don't be foolish and pick up the lulav first. If the Rosh would have held that b'chiyah gavna, that you pick up all four minim separately, you make a separate distinct bracha on each one, so then, why does the Rosh give you a mile to the lulav? So if you anyway can make a bracha on atilas esrog, on atilas hadas, and on atilas aravas, so then whatever you want, so flip a coin, whichever one you want to pick up first, that would be okay. So from the fact that the Rosh is pushing you into the corner to pick up the lulav first, that's because of the brachas. The Rosh is quite clear, the only reset of bracha on one of them, and that one, of course, is going to be the lulav. So this is in contrast to the Shita Saraivid. The Yosef quotes Saraivid, which says, no, strange thing, when you do this mitzvah of picking up all the dalaminim, bazeh acharzeh, so then you recite a separate and distinct bracha on each one. You make a bracha amatilas lulav, and a bracha amatilas esrog, a bracha amatilas arava, a bracha amatilas adas, amatilas exavos, whatever the nusach of the bracha of the Raivid is going to be. So according to the Raivid, obviously there's no ma'at, then you can pick up whichever one, whichever I like, and esrog better. What was the, which of the four minim is that favorite min? So whichever min you like best, take up those brachas. You like the food better, you make a bracha better. So whichever min you want to make a bracha on, he can. So machlekes is the Rosh and the Raivid, should you recite a separate bracha on each of the minim, or do you recite one bracha on all? The chayr, the Raivid, is very difficult. Why do you recite a separate bracha on each of the minim if lamais is only one mitzvah? So all said and done, the arba minim ma'akvan zezeh. So why, what are you making a separate bracha on each of the minim for? So maybe it could be as follows, that there is a, we know from Sfiras HaOmer, there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim, whether a person who misses one day of Sfira, whether he's allowed to continue to count or not, whether he's still yotzei to the mitzvah. So the famous Shita of the Hag, that you don't count anymore. After you miss a day of Sfira, so it's all over. And all the other Rishonim disagree. Tezim Menachas writes that the Hag is very shver. Tezim another place in the Megillah writes it's different Temahim. So difficult Shita to understand. But Lamaisa, we treat it like a Sveika Dadina. So that's what happened in a year. A person forgets Svira, so we tell him to continue to count. According to the Hag, you don't have to bother to continue to count. You're not getting anything. But we tell you, no, continue to count, because most of the Rishonim hold that you're still here today. But without a bracha and deference of the Shita of the Hag. So there is a big question in the Acharonim, what is Pshat of the Shita of the Hag? Does the Hag mean it's mamish one mitzvah? That's what some Acharonim say. The Hag holds it's mamish one, all 49 days is one mitzvah. You miss a day, so then you blow the whole thing. You're not yet to the mitzvah of the chlal. So that's true that all 49 days is really this one mitzvah called Svira Sa'imah. It's this counting of the 49 days is one mitzvah. So then why do you make a bracha each night? Bechari, you should only make one bracha at the beginning. Like Kriyas HaMegillah. You don't make a bracha when you get to each new pasuk. So according to the Bahag, why do you make a separate bracha on each night if it's one kima mitzvah? So it could be that brachas are usually formulated whenever you're performing a ma'isa mitzvah. Bracha is not so much a function of the kima mitzvah, but it's a function of the ma'isa mitzvah. So let's say, for example, if I appoint you as a shaliach to nail in the mezuzah for me. So you do the ma'isa mitzvah, and I get the kima mitzvah. Who makes the bracha? You make the bracha. If I appoint you as a shaliach to do the tikkun chametz for me, it's my house. I get the mitzvah. You don't get credit for the mitzvah. You're doing the ma'isa mitzvah. And after b'chein, the nuchas brachas, you recite the bracha. The nuchas brachas follow whoever does the ma'isa mitzvah, not who in theory in the loft in Lundus gets the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So maybe that's what the Bahag here holds also. That true, the kiyum ha-mitzvah is one, but the ma'isa ha-mitzvah split up. Since the ma'isa ha-mitzvah is divided up into 49 separate actions, I do one action tonight, and one action tomorrow night, and one action the next. That's not like Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah, I read the whole Megillah one time. But Sfiras HaOmer, so since the halacha divides up, but I have to do one mitzvah now, one mitzvah 24 hours from now, another mitzvah 24 hours from now, so each ma'isa mitzvah requires its own bracha, even though in this greater scheme of things, in terms of the kiyum mitzvah, it's only considered to be one mitzvah. That's why if I miss one day, so I miss the whole thing according to the Bahag. So maybe that's what the Raivid is saying here also, that when I do netilas lulav, if I take all four minim b'vasachas, so then it's one ma'isa mitzvah, so then I only make one bracha. If I take all four one after another, so true, the key of my mitzvah is only one. If I end up not taking all four, I'm talking one, you'll say, wasn't you, I'd say anything. The same may be Shabbos over. If I miss day 49, you'll say, wasn't you, I'd say anything either. But I still require a separate bracha for each ma'is and mitzvah, because each day of sphere is distinct. So maybe that's the same thing that the Rabbi is saying by Dalabinim also, that if I take all four together, so that's like reading the whole Megillah once, that's only one bracha. But if I take it as four separate mitzvahs, so even though I tack a needle of fourth, if I don't pick up the fourth, the one knows the first one was nothing, it was all a bracha v'atala, but alpha v'chein, since each one is labeled in halach as a distinct and separate ma'isa mitzvah, so each one requires its own bracha. Maybe that's the pshat in the shittas arriving. So whatever it is, whatever the lomus arrived, the ma'isa will pass like the arrived. The ma'isa we pass in Shulchan Aruch like the rush, that if a person chooses to do the mitzvah in such a mashinatic way of taking one after another, so then he only recites one bracha, and then the rush to take the rush is eitzah, that the bracha that you should take is make ala to the lulav. So that's the normal bracha, so make that bracha and just take the lulav first. There goes Maimini quotes Milchus lulav, that what's the halacha of a person following the shittas at rush, that he picks up, he makes out the bracha onto the lulav, he shakes his lulav, then he puts it down, he's about to pick up his esrog, and then he starts schmoozing with somebody. So, soch bein haminin. So, there goes Sabayim, and he quotes from Rabbeinu Simcha that Pechi Agavni, you should recite a bracha. According to the Rabbi, even if you don't talk, you make a bracha. Rabbeinu Simcha says that that the rush is basically right, that you usually do not make a bracha, but if you soch bein haminin amin, so then you would recite a bracha. And the Ramah quotes this Rabbeinu Simcha lahalacha. So, we pass through the split. But if you don't talk, so then you don't make another bracha. If you do talk, then you do make another bracha. So the Magen Avraham takes serious issue with this Rabbeinu Simcha, not so much with Rabbeinu Simcha, but with, takes issue with the Ramah, why the Ramah paskin like an example.
What bracha would you make?
You would make a new bracha, al-natilas esrog, al-natilas arom, right? You have to make a bracha on each of the, right, but each, whatever min is. The same way the Rabbi had a separate bracha on each of the minim, so Rabbeinu Simcha has b'chei gavim that you spoke. So the Magen Avraham takes serious issue.
What if you just spoke between one of the meaning, but and then you made a bracha, like then you did the lulav and then you spoke.
So then you have to make a bracha on the
right. So, and then you took the edge, and then you have to, and then you didn't speak after that. You have to make a bracha on each other.
I think so. I think once the feels lulav bracha is over, then it could be that each one would require its own. I don't know. Take more time. So, pashtus, that's the thing. So this Rabbeinu Simcha is very questionable. So Rabbeinu Avraham has serious reservations as to why there are more. Felt the necessity to paskin like this Rabbeinu Simcha. Why is this Rabbeinu Simcha so controversial? It says the Magen Avraham, this Rabbeinu Simcha should not be understood in a vacuum. This is part of a general machlokes, an age-old machlokes of Rishonim about hefsek and brachos, which appears in the context of many, many different brachos. There is a Gemara in the Maseches Menachos where the Gemara says that soch ben tefillin, so mevarech. Normally, if a person makes a bracha before he puts on the tefillin shel yad, so that bracha, the tefillin shel yad, covers the tefillin shel rosh as well. What does it mean it covers the tefillin shel rosh? That's the machlokes of Rishonim. So Rashi learns that it means you never make a bracha on the tefillin. Rashi held, you only make one bracha every day for both tefillin that you wear, and you make one bracha la'aniach, and you put on both. And from that context, where the Gemara says that soch ben tefillin v'tefillin v'barach shayim, according to Rashi, the guy goes out and he speaks between the tefillin shayim and tefillin shorosh, so then he has to make a new bracha on the shorosh. Then the original bracha laniach is not valid. So what new bracha should he make? So rather than making a bracha laniach over again, it would be so boring. You just said laniach a minute before, so let him say al mitzvah tefillin. That's much more, you know, it's a little bit of a different, gives a little bit of a flavor to the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, lo soch v'barach achas, to make laniach, and technically laniach is good for both. And you never make a bracha on mitzvah tefillin. And the one case in a million years, the guy is soch and tefillin with tefillah, so then chayzim mevarech and make the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. That's a Rashi learns pshat the Gemara. And Rabbi Natan learns pshat the Gemara totally different. Rabbi Natan learns, no, that a normal person makes the haniach when he puts on shel yad, and a normal person makes al mitzvah tefillin when he puts on the tefillin shel rosh. According to Rabbi Natan, even though you make a bracha al mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin shel rosh, there's another bracha that you also make on the tefillin shel rosh. What is that? It's also lahaniach. According to Rabbi Natan, tefillin shel rosh are teunim beis brachas. So you have to make a bracha lahaniach on the tefillin shel rosh, and you have to also make an additional bracha in the normal circumstances of an al mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin shel rosh. Why is that? Why do tefillin get two brachas? So some say the Rav had a whole shtickle Torah that the bracha laniach is a bracha, the ma'isa mitzvah of tefillin, and the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is the lashon of Rambam. The Rambam writes when a person is wearing tefillin, he's a different person. He's a gavra muchtav tefillin. He's a yerushimayim. He's a kishem hashem nikra lecha alana a whole chal hashem. It's like a bracha machnisa. And some say that we spoke about this in Mila a couple of years ago. That we take two brachas by Mila, so al hamila, that's on the ma'isa mitzvah. Machnisa was on the change in the gavra and the status. He's in nichnas to bris, like kedush yisrael, langa midyom. So under normal circumstances, the adam holds, you make a bracha laniach on the shalyad, and that bracha is really being chal on the shalrosh also. But you don't have to bother saying it because you just said it on the shalyad. It covers both, and then al mitzvahs you make for the gavra muchta kedush yisrael. But what if a person speaks? And then Rabbi Tam says, if you speak, then Rabbi Ashtayim, then the lahaniach got lost, the lahaniach was ruined, and you have to make a new bracha lahaniach before the tefillin shorosh. So in effect, you have to make now two brachas on the tefillin shorosh according to Rabbi Tam. So it comes out that according to Rashi, a normal person every day makes one bracha on the whole tefillin story. If you speak, you end up with two brachas. According to Rabbi Tam, a normal person makes two brachas. If you speak, then you end up with three brachas. But like you said, Rishonim, Aminig is a pshara. Aminig, the minig of the Rama is that we follow Rabbeinu Tam, but a deference to Rashi, we say Baruch Shem Kavod. After Rama says Tzilin, then lest it be a shal of a bracha of a tal. Fine. So you see, Kalor, everyone.
We pass in that if we talk, we should say Lahniach
Tzilin. Yeah, we pass in. Yeah, we pass in. If a person talks between the Shayyad and the Sharosh, then we have to say Lahniach and an Amit says Tzilin on the Sharosh. That's what comes out, that really, according to all the Rishonim, the bracha that we make on a Sharosh every day is a bracha levatala. Because according to Rashi, it's always a bracha levatala, because you don't need it if you don't talk. And according to Rabbi Natan, it's tefillin apostle, because we wear Rashi's tefillin. So it comes out that that's a small technical problem. Anyway, not for that. So, halacha doesn't work that way. It's once it's nimnu v'gomru, with that halacha like Rashi by tefillin, so then you don't say, well, let's be cheshish for a minute time, and that's not how the Torah works. Anyway, but back to the story. So you see, Klor from Miz Gemara, that making a hefsek in the middle of a bracha, in the middle of a mitzvah, ruins the bracha. That means the bracha laniach, bein l'rashi, bein l'rabinatam, is supposed to relate to the tefillin shorosh. And if yisach, bein tefillin tefillah, so that does it, and that ruins it, that destroys the kesher of the bracha with the mitzvah of anachas tefillin of the tefillin shorosh. So there's a big machlekes of Rishonim. What else can we derive from that klal? Are there any other examples that we can deduce from that klal that appears in the Gemara Maseches Menachos Gabi Tefillin? So the Rif at the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes a famous discussion that he had Shaul Makamei Reish Masifta. He quotes it was a shayla that was sent to the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, one of the guys in Bavel, that would ask the following shayla: what if a person is in the middle of Tekiyah Shofar and he soch ben Tekiyah l'Tekiyah? That means they blow the Tekiyah to Miyushov. And then, he's schmoozing when they put in the Sefer Torah back. So then the rabbi forgets he's not supposed to give a drasha. The rabbi's always supposed to speak in Rosh Hashanah before the Kishah. The rabbi forgot. So then he gets up and he gives his drasha and he's talking that book about it. Now what do you do? So now he's got to blow shofar again. He's got to blow the Kiyas to Ma'umad. So if you recite another bracha now. So that was the suffix that they had in Bavel. That was the issue, the hot issue in Iraq 1200 years ago. So what do you do? Sach ben Tekiyas with Tekiyas. So should we compare Sach ben Tekiyas to Tekiyas to Sach ben Tefillin with Tefillin? Or should we say, no, maybe there's something unique about Sach ben Tefillin with Tefillin. So what's the issue? So the Rif quotes, the issue is as follows, that there's a tremendous chiluk between the two cases. That in the case of Sach ben Tefillin with Tefillin, there are really two different mitzvahs. Tefillin Shayad is a different mitzvah than Tefillin Shorosh. Haraya, the Mishnah says, that I'm Atev. If a guy has a bandage on his arm, so okay, so if he can't wear the tefillin shayyad for whatever reason, so he still wears the tefillin shorosh, and vice versa. They're two totally separate mitzvahs. So Enema Akman says that where's the kiyas shofar is one long mitzvah. The kiyas shofar is a mitzvah to blow these amount of kolos with their eyes and these amount of kolos with their rabban, and it's all mamish mitzvah achas. So comes the Reish Masifta, the Rif quotes in the end of Rosh Hashanah, it says, but when do we say that Sach ben Tefillin l'Tefillah is no good, you have to make a new bracha? That's if you want a bracha to carry over from one mitzvah to the next, so then you better make sure not to be ma'afsik. So then, once the bracha was chal on the Tefillin Shilyad, so the Tefillin Shilyad is over already, and finished, the mitzvah is over. You want to carry that bracha over to Nochamu, to another mitzvah, to pop to the Tefillin Shorosh, so you have to be careful not to be ma'afsik. If you're ma'afsik, then it doesn't carry over. But if it's all the same mitzvah, once you start the mitzvah, so then if you would talk between the bracha and the first key or the first call, that would have to be a problem. But once you made a haschol on the mitzvah, so then it's okay. So then the bracha continues. Moshe Mada Bedome, the guy's eating a meal. So you make a bracha, you eat a mozi, you make a mozi, and you take a bite out of your sandwich. You don't have to be quiet for the whole meal, except for during the week of Kalvah, right? It's a special day, you can be quiet. But to the machmer, for the kasher, the rishon sifter that day. But normally, you don't have to do that. Normally, you're allowed to talk in the middle of a meal. Why is that? So once the brich zanen and the schal on the bread, so then it continues for the rest of the meal, continues for the rest of the bread. You make an eighth on an apple. You don't have to keep quiet if you finish the whole apple. So what did that mean? Once you made a bracha and you started a mitzvah, so it's okay. So the bracha is chal, the entire mitzvah. It's a very unique din by tefillin because of the nature of tefillin that the two different mitzvahs. That's the shita sarif. And other rishonim disagree. There are some rishonim who disagree with the rif. Who's the bar plufta of the rif? Happens to be by Gali Rabbeinu Simcha. There goes Maimini quotes in Uchla Shofar, the Rabbeinu Simcha, one of the Balei HaTosfos, he disagrees. Rabbeinu Simcha held that klal of the Gemara of Sachma and Tefillah Tefillah applies to everything. There's no chiluk, whether it's one mitzvah, two mitzvah, same mitzvah, different mitzvahs. Once you're sach in the middle, so then it's over. How is it different from Birchas Hananin? So Birchas Hananin is different from Birchas Mitzvahs. The rules are not all the same. Don't ask me a kasha from the Moitz Alechem and the Aretz. But by all mitzvahs, once you start to do the mitzvah, if you're sach in the middle of the mitzvah, you have to make a new bracha until you finish the entire mitzvah. So you would have kahane of a kahane. You'd have a lot of machleksim that depend on this riff and rabbin and simcha. Let's say a guy starts to makes a bracha and he starts to read the Megillah. And then he talks in the middle. Does he have to make a new bracha? So according to the riff, no. According to rabbin and simcha, yes. So comes the Magen Avraham down as a tain under the Ramah. How do we pass in that bracha? So we do not pass like the Rebbein Zimcha. We pass like the Riff in Uchah Shofar. We pass in Uchah Megillah like the Riff. We pass in Kol Targum like the Riff. We always pass in that if a person, once he starts to do the mitzvah, so then, he's supposed to wait until he finishes the mitzvah. But with the Eved, once you start to do the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha, say B'dikas Chametz. The guy's in the middle of doing B'dikas Chametz. He's not supposed to talk for the whole B'dika, but what if he goops and he talks in the middle? So according to Rebbein Zimcha, you have to make a new bracha. According to the Riff, you don't make a new bracha. And that's what Aminig is there also. So if we pass it in all the shahs that come up throughout our chayim, we pass it against Rabbeinu Simcha. So l'chora, this psach of Rabbeinu Simcha, the guy who picks up the lulav and puts it down and then talks, has to make the new bracha. So l'chora, this psach of Rabbeinu Simcha is l'shitasa. Why? Because dalet minim is closer to tekiyah shofar and closer to kriyas ha-megillah than it is to tefillin. Tefillin are two separate mitzvahs. That was the whole yisayim of the Reish Masifta. That was all yisayim that the Riff in Rosh Hashanah quoted. That tefillin, which are two separate mitzvahs, so you can't keep the bracha alive if you're mafsik. But something which is one entity, which is one mitzvah, so then the bracha, once it's chal, it's chal. So dalam minim is one entity, because haraya dalam minim la'achvin zezeh. So the whole chiluk between tefillin, in contrast to shofar, was one mitzvah versus two mitzvahs. So clearly dalam minim is closer to tekiyah shofar than it is to tefillin. So therefore, the Magen Avraham has a taina against the Ramah. If the Ramah Nuchas Shofar and the Ramah Nuchas B'dikas Chametz, the Ramah Nuchas Megillah, nowhere does he ever quote this Rabbeinu Simcha. My high that all of a sudden, when it comes to Dal Aminim, he quotes Rabbeinu Simcha that Tzach Ben Aminim has to recite a new bracha. That's the Magen Avraham's taina against the Ramah. So the Magen Avraham says, well, maybe between Lavitz Chus and the Ramah meant like this. Maybe the only reason why he quoted Rabbeinu Simcha is because really the Ramah held us as fake at the Dina. He's not sure. Maybe Rabbeinu Simcha is right. Maybe the Riff's right. So whenever it's a Suffolk, we have a Kalal Suffolk Brachas Lachal. But here, there's another Tzad to recite a Bracha. What's the other Tzad to recite a Bracha? You always have the Raivin to fall back on. The Raivin held that even of low Suffolk, you have to make a new Bracha. The Raivin held that each one is a separate and distinct Netila, a separate mindset, like the Sevir Sa'ayim of the Bahag. So the Raivin held, even if you don't talk, you have to make a Bracha. So even though we don't hold like that, we hold like the Rosh, that if you don't talk, you don't make a bracha. But if you talk, so then you have like a fake to make a bracha. That maybe the Rabbi's right, and maybe the Rosh is right. Even if it's all that the Rosh is right, or maybe Rabbeinu Simcha is right. So maybe that's what the Ramah meant. The reason why the Ramah was noted to make a bracha if you talk, is not that he's being machriya like Rabbeinu Simcha. He really doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Simcha. He holds it's a sveik at the dina. But the chiyagav and the tilas nuva, when you always have the right, so it's a tzira for Rabbeinu Simcha and the right, that's what warrants the reciting of a bracha. That's the Rebbeinu Avraham's pshat in this Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't think this is what the Ramah meant at all. He's among the Ramah's mamish going down the wrong road in terms of understanding this Ramah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks that the reason why Sach Bein Haminim has to recite a new bracha is based on a totally different pshat. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes in the Bir HaLacha, he thinks the following lumbus. We know, we've already developed this yisod, that there has to be some kind of a tziruf between the minim. So we said, according to the Rabban, you don't need a tziruf between the minim. Good, that's fine, that's the Rabban. But according to all the other Rishonim, you need some kind of a tziruf. So what constitutes a tziruf? So Tam said, that's the mamash mitzuruf yachad. That's the middle of kichatama midaraisa. At all at the same time. And even according to the Rambam, it has to be mitzuyin lefanav. And according to the Rosh, according to the Groz version at least, it has to be mamash lefanav on the table. So even we, who don't quite follow Rabbeinu Tam, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go Rabbeinu Tam, but even we agree that there has to be some kind of a tziruf. So it comes to be Allah with an unbelievable chiddush on a level of the Araisa, Sicha breaks up the tziruf. Normally we think talking in the middle, talking is a din derabbanan, talk is not a problem deraisa. There are problems deraisa with talking also, but a hefsek, the concept of a hefsek in the middle of a mitzvah, in the middle of a bracha, that's something that somehow, you know, we're not so used to on a level of deraisa. Whereas all of a sudden over here, the Be'aloch is telling us that this is the din deraisa, that if a guy takes a lulav and he puts it down and then starts schmoozing, so that broke up the tziruf. That's not called lakichatama on a level of deraisa. So that's the case. That's the reason why the guy has to make a new bracha. Not because of Hilchas Brachas, Rabbeinu Simcha's stories, the Magen Avraham, the righteous man. That's not why it says the Be'alocha. The reason why the guy has to make a new bracha is because Midaraisa is not Yetzi anymore, because there was a lack of tziruf between the minim. But then the Be'alocha can see that if this is the Pshat of the Ramah, then the Ramah is very, very misleading. Right? Because when the Ramah says a guy who talks has to make a new bracha, so what new bracha does he have to make? So the pashtus in the Ramah is you have to make an amatilas haracha, amatilas haser, amatilas hadasim, and you don't have to take the lulav over again. The pashtus in the Ramah is you were yotzei the lulav part of the mitzvah, and now you got a quirk in uchas brachas, you got a ben simcha staring at you that requiring you to make another bracha, so you got to nebuch make another bracha in each one of the meetings. According to the Mishnah Berurah, what do you have to do? You have to start all over again. You have to start from scratch. And what's the new bracha you should make? Amatilas lulav, and you have to put the lulav again. You have to start mamish again because the tziruf was broken. That's not called lekichatama. That's not at all what the Ramah sounds like. The Ramah, what does the Ramah say? Who saw the Ramah? Anyone saw the Ramah? We don't. What does the Ramah say? Nobody saw the Ramah.
It sounds like you don't have to.
He doesn't say you have to take the lulav over again. He says just take the next min and make a new bracha on the next min. So according to Mishnah Berurah, reading the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah himself is ma'ir that the Ramah mamish doesn't say what he says. It's an interesting halach that sicha is a mafsik with the rice that breaks up the tziruf, but to say that's a pshat in the Ramah is very, very difficult. So I don't know what is the pshat in the Ramah. Is the Magen Avraham pshat or some other pshat?
Is it another issue? Because the last time it seems to be done in all 7 days. According to Mishnah Berurah's pshat, this will only apply on the first day.
No. We pass in that. We pass in against that. We pass in all 4 minim all the whole week. Right. Only the din of chasa we're moichel on after the first time. Right. What would the din be in the following case? Let's say a person is going to do things normally, not like this some shugan and lambda is going to take all 4 minim one after another. He's going to plan on taking lulav and esrog kedas, but then he makes the bracha and does lulav, shakes lulav and esrog. Then he realizes that he doesn't have an arrow in there. He realizes that he doesn't have any hadasim in there. And to realize he doesn't have a lulav there, it has to be a real chacham. But he realizes that the arrow fell out, the hadasim fell out. So, I mean, the imamish fell out totally. He doesn't even have one left. He has nothing to rely on. So what does he do now at this point? So the poskim write, the quote from Rav Chaim, and the Mishnah will say that he has to make a new bracha now. He has to make a new bracha on that min. He has to go and put down everything else and pick up the arava and make a bracha al matilas arava. Why is that? Because the chur, his das was not on the arava. Means his das was what he was holding in his hands. He didn't realize there was arava there. The arava sitting in his fridge. So he has to, the chur, he has to make a new bracha on that. That's what the Mishnah Berurah assumes halacha, that he has to make a new bracha. But there could be a little bit of a difference in halacha. What do you mean he didn't have an arava? So taka, where was the arava? If the Arava is in his refrigerator, he knows where it is, he has one of his brishus, let's mitzvah in the fun of. So then, following the Shittas Rambam, so then he's yaitzeh the mitzvah of Dalaminim. And the Mishnah Berurah holds that even the Rosh agrees that you yaitzeh the mitzvah of Dalaminim according to the Rambam. So, al tzvah in the fun of you yaitzeh. So, you yaitzeh the lulav of Esrog Hadassim part of the mitzvah. Now, you just need the Arava. So, good, so take the Arava separately and make a bracha amadilas Arava and shrine and call it a day. But let's say he picks up the 3 minim. He thinks he's got everything. He picks up the 3 out of 4. He makes the bracha, and then he realizes he's got another arava. And then he realizes, you know what? You know why I don't have an arava? I forgot to buy an arava yesterday. So now the guy goes frantic. I gotta go get an Arab. He goes and knocks on Yaakov Shmerel's door. Do you have an extra Arab? This guy does that. That guy does. Finally finds someone 20 minutes away who has another Arab. So that's not called Mitzuy in the front of. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah. It's not enough just to pick up the Arab and make a bracha on the Tfilas Arab and deliver a day. Why? Because you're not Yetzim Adelisa. According to the Rambam, that wasn't called Mitzuy in the front of. So that's a lack of Lekicha Tama. So now you have to take all four minim. And what bracha do you make now? Now you make on the Tfilas Luluf. Because now you go back to square one, like any other person who wasn't Yaitse. So that din, that if you took three minim and you realize you're missing the fourth, so sometimes you make an Al Tilas Arav and you just take the Arav, and sometimes you take all four minim and you make an Al Tilas Lulav, will depend on Mitzuy Lefanav, any Mitzuy Lefanav. If you follow the Gra, that Befanav was not a function just of the Bracha, the Befanav was a function of the Mitzvah itself, so that even if the guy has the Arav in his refrigerator, he would have to take all four minim and start all over again and make an Al Tilas Lulav. So the Mishnah Berurah Taka doesn't like that very well. The Mishnah Berurah goes because the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, that's why the Mishnah Berurah isn't ma'ir this issue with the Gra. But if you follow the Shita Sagra, then in all circumstances, unless the Rav was mamish in front of you, you would be required to recite the whole Netilas Lulav over again and take all four minim of Asachas. Okay, so I think we've finished that Sugya of Lekicha Tama. Now I'm going to move on to the next Sugya. So believe it or not, we've been learning for how many weeks though? Maybe 6 weeks or so, give or take, and we haven't really learned all that much about Esregim, right? We talked a little bit about the Esregim Morkov and Esregim Yorok, but not that much. So from here on in, for most of here on in at least, there's going to be some of the sugyas of more Esregim sugyas. So first we have to deal with the two major Lomdish sugyas on Naflam and Hamad Aleph in terms of Esregim, the sugya of Esreg Shel Orla, with the sugya of Esreg Shel Tevel, and then hopefully after that, we'll talk about some of the details in Lamed Hamid Beis about some of the practical things about Esregim with the Chazozis and the Chitams that fall off and other possible problems that are common in Esregim. So let's begin really with the Sugya of Esreg Shel Orla, which starts in Daf Lamed Hamid Aleph. So the Mishnah says Befeirush that an Esreg Shel Orla is no good. Esreg for the first 3 years is not acceptable. It's possible, Pasha, it's possible with their Isa. So the Gemara asks the question, why is it possible? Shall oil apostle my time up? So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Avim Rabbi Asi, Chadam al Afisha ein ba heter achila, the Chadam al Afisha ein ba din mamam. So different Amaram are giving different twists as to what's wrong. So one says, you can't eat it. You can't eat it, so Azmat, you can't eat it. So Rashi and Taisus both say, well, if you can't eat it, how can you call that lochem? The Torah says, l'kachtem lochem. Lochem is a lush and is the connotation. L'chol tzarchechem. Something you could use for all your normal uses. So here you get an essential oil up, you can't even eat it. So how could you possibly call that lochem? So that's what this Abayra means when he says, it's a chesaron in the din of lochem. The other Abayra says, no, a different word, different twist. What does she'ein ba'din mamam mean? So Rashi says, not so much a function on function of eating it, but that it's not really worth anything. It's also about not like you're not eating, you can't use it for anything. So you can't be kind of chenisha with it, and it's you can't use it if you can't feed it the animals. Because oil is not only from the Isuri Achila, oil the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, Areilem, Meyilachem. So the Gemara learns out, Arautam or Losa means lesser kohanos. So if oil is totally asabana, so whatever is asabana, Rashi says is not called the Shevapruta. And whatever is not called the Shevapruta is not considered to be lochem. That's how Rashi sizes up this Gemara. Rashi, another place, has that same Loshan. The second parak, that whatever something's not a Shevapruta, that's not called Lochem. So, comes Tosfos in this sugya and says that although there's a little bit of a machlokes here between Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabbi Asi as to why precisely we're being magdir, Esrog Shel Orla is not being Lochem, they're both agreeing to the basic yisod. The basic yisod is it's a chesaron of Lochem. Everybody agrees that Lochem Lochem is a din, you require Lochem, but we have just a little bit of a different twist. A little bit of a different nuance. What's the requirement of lochem? What exactly is magdir something as being lochem? So one Amora picks up on the fact that it has to be royal achila, and the other one picks up the fact that it has to have it in mamon. Then the Gemara goes on to show my nafkamina. At the end of the day, everybody holds esrog shel orla is possible. So my nafkamina. So the Gemara finds it chaps nafkamina esrog shel ma'aser sheni because ma'aser sheni there is a heter achila, but it's not lochem. Hopefully, we'll talk about that in the next sugya. So comes Tosfos. On this sugya, he makes a couple of observations. Comes to us and says, one thing that's very clear, which is the way Rashi also says is very clear, that both Amoraim are learning Pshat and Lochem. And Lochem, so we already know this from day one, little no pun intended, that Lochem is only Din and Yom Rishon. That's a good, good line. Did not even mean that line. So comes, get it, they want him, Rishon Dan. So we have to explain it, then you know you're in big trouble. So comes, Tyson says, it's quite clear that Lachem is only a Tanai in Yom Rishon. So therefore, Lachora, if the whole reason why an Esok Shel Orla is puzzle is because of Ein Behet Terachila, Ein Badin Mamon, if the only reason is Lachem, so we're going to walk away from the sugi with a good kula. After the first day, third day Chol HaMoed, you could have to use an Esok Shel Orla, nothing wrong with it. I happen to use an Esok Shel Orla, you're being nanez, Lachem, Isser Hanah, isn't it doing a Mitzah Hanah? That's probably not such a big problem. It's just not the understanding that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah of Chesed Al says the Hanah Sa Mitzvah doesn't constitute the Hanah, either with the Evid, according to some, maybe even the Chachil, you're allowed to use it. That's a technical problem. But in terms of being Yankee, the Mitzvah, Nevada, Nevada, if the only problem, that's a very, very big if the only problem of Esok Sha'ol would be the issue of Lachem, after Achila and the Din Maman, then after the first day we give you a green light. That's what Tosfos observes on Daf Lamed Hamid Al. But then Tosfos says, you know what? There's another factor here. Chayra, there's a totally different soul that we could have potentially applied to an Esok Shel Orla, and that's something that we also spent a lot of time talking about a couple of weeks ago, and something which appears line before in the Gemara about an Esok Shel Asher Yonidachas, which is a throwback to the Sugya of Lulav Shel Asher and Lulav Shel Yonidachas. Why is a Lulav and an Esok Shel Asher or Shel Yonidachas, Shel Apedizara, why is that possible? So the other Gemara uses three other words. Ksuse mechta shiurei. The Gemara says that whenever something is oimed l'sreif, and we had a whole detailed discussion in the Rishon, in the Tam, in the Re, what's called oimed l'sreif, before, bit left, bit left, bit left, bit left, bit left, bit left, again, but not chazan over the house, maybe it's important to chazan up, but not for right now. So there are details as to when you plug in the rule of ksuse mechta shiurei. But comes Tyson and says, they think that Esrik Shel Orla really meets all the criteria of ksuse mechta shiurei. After all, even according to some Rishonim who said that Bittel will save the day, something which is oimed l'kachta b'mevatel, so like the Rishi, that it's a Badezor Shel Akam, so you don't say Ksuse Mech Hashira because it could become Vatel, there's no Bittel on Orla. Once something is also Mishim Orla, it's also the Yolam Bod Mishim Orla. It doesn't become Mutter in the fourth year. The fruit that grows in the fourth year becomes Mutter. The fruit that grows in the first 3 years remains Yisur in the Orla. So comes Tyson says, you know, Ksuse Mech Hashira is another reason to passel in Esrik Shel Orla. So Tosfos now says, you know what? We have three different reasons to pasul Esrik Shel Orla. We have the reason of Ksuse Mech Hashira. We have the reason of Ein Bedin Mamon, and we have the reason of Heter Achila. So says Tosfos, you know, if you think about it, now it makes a lot of sense. Why does the Gemara earlier on in the sugya of Lulav Shel Asherah, Lulav Shel Yonidachas, Lulav Shel Avedazara, how come the Gemara doesn't quote the reasons of Heter Achila and Din Mamon? How come the Gemara had to wait till Lamed Hamid Aleph to come to those reasons? Why did the Gemara say Lulav Shel Asher Shel Yonidachas Pasul My Taima Lefisha Eimba Din Mamon Lefisha Eimba Heter Achila? Why didn't the Gemara say that? So Tosfos analyzes why Taka didn't the Gemara say that. So Tosfos starts out by saying, wait a second, the reason of Heter Achila, that's a pretty sharp reason. Why Heter Achila makes sense by Esrog, because Esrog is royally Achila. Lulav is never royal achila. So what should I have to talk about the royal achila? So Tosfos says no. Tosfos says that everybody agrees that in a situation when something is ain't no royal achila, there's a din of din mamon. Everybody agrees you need some kind of a din of lachem. So when you have an esrog which is potentially edible, so then you had a machlekes amarayim. So what's kaveya whether it's called lachem? Is it the edibility or is it the usage? Is it the din mamon? But something which is not royal achila, something like a lulav, which you can't eat anyway, so of course there has to be some kind of criteria of lachem. So everybody would agree that the criteria of lachem would be the criteria of din mamon. So lulav shel asherah, lulav shel nidachas, doesn't have a din mamon. It's not called lachem. So what's the Gemara drawing us a cup of ksusim ech tashuri? What's wrong with the sugya of Lamed Hamid Aleph? So comes Tosfos and says, I'll tell you, it's very simple. It's part of my whole theory, says Tosfos. The psul of Heter Achila and the psul of Din Mamon, those are all pratim and lachem. Lachem would only be a problem, would only pose a problem on the first day. Gemara and Lamed Aleph on the days wanted to apostle this lulav for the whole week. Wanted to apostle, throw this lulav out the window, you can't use the lulav shel Avedazar, shel Yonidachas, the whole week of Sukkot. So comes the Gemara with the much more inclusive psul. The much more inclusive psul is the psul of Ksusim Ech Tashirah. So comes to us and says, you have two different Gemaras. Gemara Daf Lamed Beis, which talks about a lulav shel Avedazara, and I'm talking about Lamed Aleph, the Gemara talks about a lulav shel Avedazara, and there the Gemara talks about the reason of Ksusim Ech Tashirah. have a Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Hamid Aleph, which talks about an Esek She'orla, and here the Gemara doesn't mention that Tzitzim Ephesura, it starts tippling with other reasons. So how come on Lamed Beis, because that happened on Lamed Aleph, the Gemara doesn't quote these dinim of Lamed Hay? The answer is, in theory, those would have also passed on the first day, but Tzitzim Ephesura is an all-inclusive soul, it's a much more inclusive soul, it passes for the entire week of Sukkot. Now, of course, what becomes the multi-million dollar question, according to Tosfos? If it's true that out of the hierarchy of psulim, Tzitzim Ephesura is much more chamor, because that passes the whole week, and the dinim of lechem are just the psulim yom rishon, so how come on Lamed Hay Amud Aleph, when the Gemara is searching for a reason that an esek she'orla is possible, why doesn't the Gemara quote Tzitzim Ephesura? That tells us kashas. Tells us just explained half the story. They explained why on Daf Lamed Aleph the Gemara doesn't quote the reasons of din mamon and roi lechila, because those are less inclusive psulim. But why on Daf Lamed Hay doesn't the Gemara quote Tzitzim Ephesura? So that's the better psul. It comes to us with an unbelievable pshat in the Gemara. It comes to us and says, you know what? The emes la'amitai reason why an esek she'orla is possible is really Tzitzim Ephesura. That's the much, much, much worse reason. That possible for the whole week. What are the Amaram drawing a cup here with these other reasons of Heter Achila and Din Mamon? The idea shalom. That not only are they possible Mishum Tzitzim Ephesura, but guess what? On the first day, they're possible for another reason also. So what kind of story is that? Like, you have to give it to Odia Shalemer. You have a good reason. So what do you need the Shvacha reasons? Says Tosfos, no. The only reason why the whole sugya appears on Lamed Hay is to lead us into the next sugya. The next sugya is going to be, hopefully we'll get to one of these days, about Esek Shemaisa Sheni. Esek Shemaisa Sheni is not Ksusim Echtashir. You don't have to burn Maisa Sheni. There it's just an issue of Din Mamon or Heter Achila. So those phrases, those terms, Din Mamon and Heter Achila, are important in analyzing the status of an Esek Shemaisa Sheni. So therefore, as a lead into that sugya, so to show us that the Amoraim have two different versions of understanding the definition of Lachem, which is going to happen right in Efkamina, there are going to be ramifications, not just philosophy about the Esek She'orla. Esek She'orla we know is possible, but it's still important for these Amoraim to speak about the Eidia Shleima, the secondary reason to passle the Esek She'orla, because it's going to impact on the case of an Esek Shemaisa Sheni. So Tosfos just had quite a razzle-dazzle pilpul in these two Gemaras. So you have one Gemara, the Lamed Aleph, which is talking about a lulav shel aved zara, which only talks about Tzitzim Ephesura, doesn't say a word about the lochem, about the din mamon and roi lechila. You have a sugya in Lamed Hamad Aleph about Esek She'orla, which only talks about din mamon and achila, doesn't say a word about Tzitzim Ephesura. Why in Lamed Aleph isn't Lachem mentioned? So the answer is because in Lamed Aleph, the Gemara wants to tell you the more inclusive psul, which is for the whole week. That's why Ksusim Echtashir is mentioned and the other reasons are ignored. Why in Lamed Hay isn't Ksusim Echtashir mentioned? Why is the Din Mamon and Heter Achila story mentioned? So it's not really needed for this sugya. The Esek She'orla we know is possible already for the whole week. These reasons are necessary as a lead in to set us up for the sugya of Ma'aseh She'ni, which is coming around the corner. That's how Tosfos sizes up both of these Gemara. So at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, there are really two things that we can extract from Tosfos. We can extract, number one, that our whole sugya is only a Yom Rishon sugya. Everything that appears in our Gemara, Ein Bad Rechila, Ein Bad Mamon, if that's the only psul, B'chi HaGavon, if that's the only psul, that's only a Yom Rishon psul, that's clear as day from Tosfos. And the second thing we can extract from this Tosfos, that's important for our sugya, is that at the end of the day, the endless reason, the all-inclusive reason why Esek She'orla is possible, is really not what it says in Agamemnon. Those reasons are also true, but the more inclusive reason is Ksusim Echtashira. So we have told us no qualms to apply Ksusim Echtashira to an Esek She'orla. So those are the two things we have to walk away after all the pilpul dust settles. Those are the two nakudas you have to walk away from this Tyson Lamed Hay from. That the reasons of Heter Achila and Din Mamon are valid reasons, but they're limited. They only apply to Yom Rishon. The reason Ksusim Echtashir is all inclusive, it applies the whole week, and it does apply even to an Esek She'orla. So comes the Ritva, and goes with Tosfos halfway, and then goes Mamash on his own Derech. Comes the Ritva and says, Tosfos is 100% right, that the Emes La'amita reasons that Esek She'orla is possible is because Ksusim Echtashir. We have no qualms, or plus zero qualms, of applying Tzitzim Ephesura to an Esek She'orla. That's the emissa reason why the Esek is possible. But now comes the Ritva and says, and guess what? I'm going to pull a fast one on who says the Mikvah. Tosfos the Kasha, why doesn't the Gemara say Kesusim Echtashir and Tosfos had a scramble for a reason? That's what the Gemara does say. Where does it say it? Lefi She'ein Baheter Achila. You know what Lefi She'ein Baheter Achila means? Ein Baheter Achila is a code phrase called the other Gemara of Tzachim. When you say something, oh, it's not edible. You know what not edible means? It's not edible. You have to throw it in the garbage. It's Asav Hana. What does that mean? It's Asav Hana. It's Asav Hana. Oh, what do you do with things which are Asav Hana? You have to burn them. Oh, you have to burn it. Stones, right? But the Chesusim Echtashiri. The Ritva saw on these words, Lefi She'ein Baheter Achila, Lefi She'ein Baheter Achila equals Kesusim Echtashiri. That's what the Ritva saw in this phrase of the Gemara itself. That's Chiddush number one. Taisus never said such a thing. Taisus took Lefi She'ein Baheter Achila as being a prat in Lachem. The Ritva says, no, it's not a din of Lachem. It's a din of Kesusim Echtashiri. It'll apply the whole week. The same way as Kesusim Echtashiri and Lamed Aleph applies the whole week, Ein Baheter Achila applies the whole week also. Then the Ritva did another Chiddush Gadol on Taisus. What does the second reason mean? Lefi She'ein Badin Mamun. So the Ritva says, nah, it doesn't really mean anything. Lefi She'ein Badin Mamun. Why is an Esek Shalala not a Din Mamun? What's wrong? It's not a Din Mamun. Just because it's also Bano, that means it's not called yours. Says the Ritva. Would anyone in their right mind ever say that something which is also Bano is not called Shalai? Who said it? The Ravid said it. Rashi said it. So comes the Ritva and says, something just because it's also Bano, just because you can't use it for anything. So Azma, what's the chisaron of Lachem? Why is that not called Lachem? It's yours. And Bible said, in your idea, you can't use it. So you have a problem with the Rebbeinu Shalom. But a Cheshem Mishpah, it belongs to you. So Arachayim is Nikva Basa Cheshem Mishpah, not Basa Yerdeya. So it comes to your Rebbeinu and says, that it belongs to you. So what is Lefi She'ein Badin Mamun? What do the words mean? So says the Rebbeinu, it doesn't really mean anything by Esek Shalom Allah. The only reason why the Amorim used that phrase, also Nachamol, like a lead into the next Sugya. Because Esek Shalai Sasheni is tacha going to be an Ein Badin Mamun. Because Esek Sasheni is Mamun Gavaya, and Cheshem Mishpah also may not belong to you. So that's a whole different Megillah. But in terms of Esek Shal Orla, so the phrase Lefi She'ein Badin Mamun is not correct. It has nothing to do with Esek Shal Orla. Whereas Tosfos took the two reasons in the Gemara and said that, well, you don't really need the two reasons, but they happen to be, they're Odi Shlomars, and therefore they're going to have ramifications in the sugi of Maisa Sheni. The Ritva took the two reasons, and what he did with them, he blew them both up. The first reason of Ein Baheter Achila, he says, doesn't mean anything. What does it really mean? It really means Kesusim Echtashiri. The second reason of Ein Badin Mamon is a nice reason, but it's wrong. It has nothing to do with Orla, because Yisri and Orla belong to you, so it must be that it's just leading into the next sugi of Maisa Sheni. So both Taisa and the Ritva have certain similarities and certain very basic differences. The similarities is that they're both playing down the reasons that appear in the Gemara. But whereas Tosfos played the reasons down as just Odi Shlomars, which are there just to help us for the next sugya, the Ritva played them down so much that they don't exist anymore. Because Ein Baheter Achila never existed. It was just another way, a fancy schmancy way of saying Kesusim Echtashira. And the second reason of Din Mamon is a nice reason, but it's wrong in the context of Orla. It's only true in this context of Maisa Sheni. So there are a few similarities, a few differences between the Ritva and Taisus. The basic, most important similarity is that the Ritva agrees to Taisus' Yisoid that the real reason, at the end of the day, the Emes La'amita reason why you can't be Yaitzeh with an Esek Shel Orla is Kesusim Echtashira. That's the only true and honest to goodness reason. That's Lamed Aleph from the days that of Edah Zara and Orla. It's all the same thing. That's Nekuda number one of the Ritva, that he agrees 100% with Taisus and that Nakuda, but he disagrees with Taisus in Taichin the Gemara, what the phrase Heter Achila means he disagrees with. According to Taisus, there is an independent psul of Ein Baheter Achila, which the Ritva denies, and he also disagrees in the Din Mamun story, that according to Taisus, Yisur and Ataka are not Din Mamun, they don't belong to you, like the Raivin, or some form of the Raivin, and the Ritva says, well, Hagit Vam Yalam, but it's not true. So there are a few important differences between Taisus and the Ritva, but the basic Nakuda in terms of, at the end of the day, why is an Esek Shalal apostle? So according to Taisus, it's Kesusim Echtashira, and according to the Ritva, it's Kesusim Echtashira. Is this a Chiddush, that Orla is Kesusim Echtashira? Because again, the Gemara never uses those words, Kesusim Echtashira. According to Taisus, the Gemara never says anything which resembles Kesusim Echtashira in Orla, and according to the Ritva, the Gemara did, it just said it in a backwards way of Ein Baheter Achila. Is there any reason to question the application of Kesusim Echtashira to the concept of Orla? So the Ritva himself is nachas already to this. The Ritva says, that he finds that there are three different places where the concept of Ein Beheter, of Ksusim Echteshura are being applied. So he says, one place where Ksusim Echteshura appears is in the Sukkis of Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah, Ir Nidachas, Atzei Asherah, that whole concept. In Hilchos Avodah Zarah we find Ksusim Echteshura. Then we find Ksusim Echteshura by Orla, which is the Ritva's reading of the Gemara. And then he says we also find Ksusim Echteshura by Truma Tumeya, by Esok Shal Truma Tumeya. The Mishnah says that Esok Shal Truma Tumeya is possible. And the Gemara says the reason is because Ein Beheter Achila, which the Ritva, which he tells and learns, Ein Beheter Achila is always a code phrase for Ksusim Echteshura. So there are three places that the Ritva documented where the Gemara itself applies the Klal of Ksusim Echteshura. One is Avodah Zarah Nidachas Hashem, that's the Gemara Laman Aleph. The second is Esok Shal Orla. And the third, by implication, is the Gemara Shaka B'Tayra over here about Truma Tumeya. Now again, Tosfos agrees to the Maskana of the Ritva that all these three cases may be examples, or at least two of them may be examples of Ksusim Echteshura, but the Gemara doesn't use the phrase, but we're going to focus down on the Ritva. According to the Ritva, all three cases are mentioned in the Gemara, either Beferish, or by using this code phrase of Ein Beheter Achila to the Kalachi concept of Ksusim Echteshura. Says the Ritva, even though it's true that Ksusim Echteshura at the end of the day applies to all three, they're not all quite on equal footing. There are differences between the three. What are the differences? The worst case scenario, may not have any difference with Lahalocha, but the worst case scenario, the most serious case of Ksusim Echteshura, the most serious part of Echteshura, is Avodah Zarah. You know why? Avodah Zarah is Ta'un Sreifa. Avodah Zarah is Mechuyev to burn. There's a mitzvah d'iraisa, Abita Abdul, Asherem Tisifun Ba'esh. You're Mechuyev d'iraisa to be Sarif, the Avodah Zarah. Not only are you Mechuyev to be Sarif it, you're not allowed to use that fire for anything. When you're being Sarif, the Avodah Zarah, let's say you're burning your shekels or something, so you can't use that to toast marshmallows in that fire. So that's also b'ano. You're mechuyev to be surfed, and the shreifa gufa is also b'ano. You're not allowed to use the fire. So comes the response that that's the worst case scenario of ksusim echteshura. Now you get to orla, not so posh. Says the ritva, orla, you're not chayav the surfa, but it's told shreifa. That means what? We have no idea what that means. Either you are supposed to do it, or you're not supposed to do it. So we have to come back tomorrow. We'll get to that point. What exactly the ritva meant with that chiluk, but he's saying some kind of a chiluk, some kind of a distinction between the din of sreifa by Avodah Zarah and the din of sreifa by orla. Sreifa of Avodah Zarah is a chiyuv gomor, and sreifa's orla somehow is oimid lekach. Yeah, it's supposed to be burned. It's going to be burned, but you're not mechiyuv to burn it. God, some chiyuv for sure. It's unclear what the chiluk is exactly, but there is some kind of a difference of sreifa. But says the Ritva, don't worry about it. You gloss over the chiluk. It doesn't matter. Ksusim Echteshura applies to orla anyway. So it's a chiddush that Ksusim Echteshura applies to Orla, because there's something lacking, there's something different between the din sreifa of Avodah Zarah and Orla. We haven't quite put our finger on the precise distinction, but even the Ritva's maida that there is some distinction, which of course will open up the possibility that other Rishonim may say, hey, wait a second, you know why the Gemara doesn't say Ksusim Echteshura by Orla? Because it ain't true. But we'll have to get that hopefully tomorrow. Then what's the third case? The case of sreifas Truma Tumeya. So it says the Ritva, sreifas Truma Tumeya is also has a little bit of a pickbook. Is that really Ksusim Echteshura? Why? Sreifas Truma Tumeya, you're mechuyev to be serif. There's no question it's a chiyuv gomer, according to many teraisa, many terabanan. Sreifas Truma Tumeya. On the other hand, you're allowed to be nene, Mr. Fos, at least a kohen. A kohen is allowed to be nene. And let's say a kohen is burning a shemen shel truma, he's allowed to read by the light. That's perfectly okay. He's allowed to be nene b'shah sreifa. So says the Ritva, Orla and Truma both have something for them and something against them. Orla, you're not allowed to be nene from the sreifa. On the other hand, it's not a din gomer of a chiyuv sreifa. Sreifas truma tumeya is a din gomer of a chiyuv of sreifa. On the other hand, you're allowed to be nene. The kohen is allowed to be nene of shas sreifa. So both orla and truma tumeya have something going for them that one could have suggested maybe ksusim echteshura wouldn't be applicable. But says Ritva, no, don't give me any coolness. Doesn't matter anyway. Since this is sreifa, that's sreifa, that thing's sreifa. At the end of the day, there's a din ksusim echteshura for all three. But the Ritva concedes, he sets up these three different categories that Avodah Zarah is the worst case scenario. There's a chiyuv gomer of sreifa, there's nisr hanor b'shas sreifa. Orla is not a chiyuv gomer of sreifa, but there is an Israel no b'shas reifa. Shuma tumeya is a chiyuv no b'shas reifa, but there's a heter no b'shas reifa. Ava b'chayin, all three are included in Sus and Mechashir. So at the end of the day, we have Agamara, which starts to give us other reasons of enba din mamun and enba heter achil and everything. So Taisus Mach the Vekti's Gemara says, nah, these are nice reasons, they're good reasons, but they're not conclusive because they only pass on Yom Rishon. So let's go for the big bucks. Let's go for the heavy hitters of Sus and Mechashir, which is much more of a problem the entire week. And the Ritva says, nah, these reasons don't really exist because Ein Beheter Achil is just another fancy schmancy way of saying Ksusim Echtashira, and Ein Badin Mamun doesn't have any relevance by Surinor anyway because the Surinor does have a Din Mamun. It's only for the Sugi Masasheni. The Emes Namita reason, Bein Latayis, Bein Ritva, is because of Ksusim Echtashira, but the Ritva has already opened up for us the possibility that the application of Ksusim Echtashira from a Vedizara, extrapolating from a Vedizara to either Orla to Truma Temea, is subject to potential question because it's not quite the same, because there is some kind of a difference. Again, we haven't yet pinpointed the distinction here, but there's some kind of a difference between the Din Sereifa by Vedizara and by Orla. But Afa Bichain, the Ritva says that at the end of the day, Sus Mechashir applies to all of them, which again will lead us hopefully for tomorrow, that some Rishonim may take issue with the Ritva and this Tosfos and say, no, if the Gemara doesn't mention Sus Mechashir, there's a very real reason why the Gemara doesn't show it. Okay, hopefully we'll pick it up tomorrow. Guys, you're up to the Gemara Kos. Is it following the same pretty much? Okay. All right, so I want to see if we can stick the gas a little bit the next couple of days.